Don't start yet. Don't start. I want to say hello. Now you can start.
Wait.
Alright. So, take the top part. I guess you have to be what he's done.
Share a few words of Torah. Now, Baruch Hashem, we have the great schos each and every year together in the sukkah. And Rabbi Nachman says that the beauty of the sukkah, actually the first truth is the first place I saw this is the Sfasemis. The Sfasemis quotes a Tosefta, and the Tosefta says that there's a Havamina, that the sukkah could only be constructed on the Harabayis. So the Gemara talks about the idea that the sukkah is Kula Kaddush, it's absolute holiness. So the Sfasemis quotes a Tosefta, that again, perhaps the only proper place for a sukkah is on Harabayis, on the Temple Mount, in the Makom HaMikdash. So the Sfasemis says that even though, of course, we don't accept this halacha l'maisa, we construct our sukkah wherever we are. But the idea that the Gemara discusses the possibility that the only proper location for a sukkah is Harabayis tells you about the incredible kiddush, the incredible holiness of this place. And Rabbi Nachman takes us a step further, and the Rebbe says so beautifully that a sukkah has kiddushas Eretz Yisrael. That when you come into a sukkah, literally again, you're entering into Eretz Yisrael. Like lahavdil, if you're born on an El Al flight, even if, you know, the airplane is in Newark, New Jersey, you're an Israeli citizen, because it's Israeli territory. So sukkah, says Rabbi Nachman, is Eretz Yisrael. And he explains, because there are only two mitzvos that a person could go ahead and fulfill with their entire body. One is Yishev Eretz Yisrael, one is living in Eretz Yisrael, and the other is the mitzvah of sukkah. So we see again that there's an incredible interconnectedness between these two mitzvahs. So first, you have to understand something. You know, I think for many of us, when we saw the calendar and we saw that Sukkot was going to be in October, so we got very excited because Sukkot in October could only mean one thing, and that is it's going to be in the 60s. It's going to be fantastic. No schwitzing. It's going to be wonderful. All right, so the Ribbono Shel Olam had other plans for us. But you know, when you come into the sukkah and you schwitz and you begin to get a little bit irritated, let me ask you, my friends. You ever daven mincha by the kosel and you go on a summer day and the sun's out, the air conditioning on the inside is broken, the outside is blazing hot. Does a Jew ever complain, oh, it's so hot by the kosel on Ma'aravi? No. Because what a Jew says to himself is, my gosh, I have the great privilege to be able to daven at the last remnant, the last little piece of our beautiful Beis HaMikdash, Sal Shvitz. Who doesn't want a Shvitz to be in the shade of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Who doesn't want a Shvitz to be in the shade of the last remnant of the Beis HaMikdash? So we come into the sukkah, we Shvitz a little bit. But just understand, my friends, we're Shvitzing in Eretz Yisrael. The sukkah might be geographically situated in the parking lot of our Beis HaKnesses, but it's Eretz Yisrael. And that's why you feel different when you walk in. And that's why your neshama feels different when you walk in. Because although we parked in Baltimore, we walked in from Baltimore, but Baruch Hashem, we're sitting here in Eretz Yisrael. We're sitting here on the Har HaBayis. And that's the great, incredible zuchus that we have in the sukkah. But tonight is also special, because it's Leil Hoshana Rabbah. So you know, I prepared a couple of sheets, but I'm going to do it. We're going to do it Baal Peh, because we turned off the lights, which whoever's idea was that, excellent. Shkoyah. I'm sorry? To turn off the lights? It could be. I'm afraid everybody will leave if I try that. So thank you. Thank you. Wonderful for my ego. Appreciate it. So, you know, there's an interesting discussion about Hoshana Rabbah. We know tonight is Leil Hoshana Rabbah, it's Chol HaMoed, it's Sukkos. But this day has a different identity unto itself. It's called Hoshana Rabbah. So the Zohar already discusses the idea. I want to quote you. The Zohar says, Yom Shvi'i Shu Hoshana Rabbah. The seventh day of Sukkos is called Hoshana Rabbah. V'lama nikra shmo Hoshana Rabbah. Why is it called Hoshana Rabbah? Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Avraham, my friends, listen to this statement from the Zohar. This is in Parshas Tzav. So the Zohar writes, Kadosh Baruch Hu says to Avram, quoting from the Zohar. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Avram Avinu, Ani Yochid V'Ati Yochid. I, God, am one, am singular, and you, Avram Avinu, are one and singular.
Etein lebanecha yom hamiyuchad lechaper bo avonosam. I'm going to give your children a singular day in which they could atone for all of their averos. And which is the singular day on which we could atone for all of our averos? Writes the Matan Moshe, v'zeu hoshana rabo. The Matan Moshe doesn't write Rosh Hashanah, and he doesn't write Yom Kippur, and he doesn't write Shmini Atzeres. But when the Ribono Shel Olam told Avraham Avinu, Anoi ani yochid va'ata yochid, I'm singular, you're singular, I'm going to give your children a singular, unique day, that singular, unique day is Hoshana Rabba. And the Zohar goes on and writes, B'yom Shiva d'chag hu'siyuma d'dino d'almo u'piskin nafkin mi'bei almo. So the Zohar writes that it's on this day that judgment is sealed. It's on this day that divine judgment comes to a close, in the piskin, the petek, the little notes from the Beis Din Shema, the heavenly court, go out. Our judgments for the coming year are finally recorded. And the obvious kash, the obvious question is, this seems to go against everything else we learn by the Yamim Noraim. Again, as we say in the davening, Rosh Hashanah yikasevun, ubiyom tzom kippur yechasimu, and Rosh Hashanah were inscribed, and Yom Kippur were sealed. And again, the Gemara makes no mention of Hoshana Rabba. We don't find Ma'amari Chazal speaking about Hoshana Rabba. Again, we find in Torah Sanistar, in the Kabbalah, in the Zohar, we find about Hoshana Rabba. But I don't understand if our judgment was already sealed on Yom Kippur. So what additional din is there? What additional divine judgment? What additional divine justice is there on this seventh day of Yom Tovan Hoshana Rabba? And I want to share with you a beautiful idea that I saw in the Be'er HaChaim. And he brings out something amazing. He says, you know, we call this seventh day Hoshana Rabba. Why do we call it Hoshana Rabba? Because one of the reasons is it's on this day that we take many Hoshanas. Whereas the rest of Sukkot, we have three Aravos, three willow branches in our Lulav. On Hoshana Rabba, we take many willow branches. The minhag is to take five. Take five Hoshanas in a bundle. That's the avoda of the day. That's the religious rite, the religious ritual of the day. And the Be'er HaChaim says so beautifully, why do we take the Arava? Why do we take the Arava? Because you know, my friends, we spoke about this a little bit on Sukkis. Chazal brings down that each of the Dalet, meaning each of the four species, represent a different type of Jew. And the Arava, the willow branch, represents a Jew who has no scent, a Jew who has no taste, what we would call a Beinoni, kind of the middle of the roader. And the Be'er HaChaim says something so beautifully. He says, you know, the Ribono Shel Olam has already inscribed and sealed the Tzadikim, the righteous. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has already signed and sealed Chas Hashom, the Rishoim, the wicked. So whose din, whose judgment is still outstanding? It's the Aravos. It's the willow branches. It's the Beinonim. It's the middle of the roaders. The people who, thank God, are not wicked, but the people who are also not exceptionally righteous. And the Ribono Shel Olam says, I'm going to keep the door open for you for as long as possible. The Tzadikim signed and sealed. The Rishaim signed and sealed. The Beinonim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, because you see, my friends, you know how a person becomes a Beinoni? We're amongst friends, so we're going to speak openly and honestly. How does a person become an Arava? How does a person become a Beinoni? You become a middle of the roader because at some point in time, you just stop trying. You become a Beinoni because at some point in time, you just stop believing in yourself. You flatline and you settle for mediocrity because you don't really believe that any other additional greatness is within reach. So my dear friends, you understand how much the Ribono Shel Olam loves us? He looks at me, he says, Silber, you're an Arava. Stop being so ridiculously mediocre. And to show you how much I believe in you, even after Rishaim Tzadikim are signed and sealed, I'm keeping the door open for you. Past Yom Kippur, past first days of Sukkot, past Chol HaMoed, pretty much until the very last day of Yom Tov. And the message HaKadosh Baruch Hu tries to give to us is, I hope that when you see how much I, God, believe in you, that you should begin to believe in yourself a little bit also. You see, my friends, there's a brand new year ahead of us. And we have great dreams and we have great aspirations. But the truth is, we also had many great dreams and great aspirations last year. How many of us started Daf Yomi and stopped? Oh, there's next Masechta. Oh, there's next cycle. I'll pick up in 5 cycles from now. I'll be 104. I'll have more free time then. How many dreams, how many times do we say, this is the year I'm going to work on my marriage. This is the year finally I'm going to appreciate the great gift that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given me. I'm going to stop leading a mediocre marriage. I'm going to start maximizing the gift. How many of us have said so many years, this is the year I'm going to devote myself to the children a little bit more. I'm going to come home, I'm going to shut off the phone. I'm not always going to be on the email. I'm not the President of the United States. Even he doesn't tweet at certain hours, I'm sure. Right? I don't always have to be connected. I don't always have to be plugged in. How many of us have wanted to work on our davening, on our kavana a little bit more? How many of us have wanted to really up our game in our Yiddishkeit? So many years, and yet we settle back into our patterns of mediocrity. And I could blame this one, and I could blame that one, but at the end of the day, the buck of my life stops with me. It is me and only me who controls my destiny. It is me and only me who decides what kind of person, what kind of Jew, what kind of mensch I am going to be. And so the Ribono Shel Olam knows, my friend, something amazing. He knows that we were all on fire in Rosh Hashanah. He knew that we yelled out Hashem Hua Elokim 7 times at the end of Kol Nidre. He knows that while we were still wearing our talisim and our kitlach, and before we took the first bite of food, I said, Ribono Shel Olam, this year I'm going to be a malach. I'm going to be something so big. I'm going to be something so beautiful. But then something happens. That happens is life. I go back to work. I get stuck in my regular schedule. I have this challenge, that challenge, and we're brought down to the realities of mediocrity. So the Ribono Shel Olam says, I'm keeping the door open. I'm keeping the window open. The Aravas, I'm just begging you, get your act together. Inspire yourself. You don't have to live life as an Arava. You know, my friends, the Sasana springs down. Do you know what we do? It's amazing. On one hand, we just said that we, the Aravas, represent us. Not us, not any of you, me. The Arava represents the mediocre individual, the person who has so much potential, but is not actualizing it. And what do we do with the Aravas tomorrow morning at the end of davening? I know most people have to leave early, but there's a part at the end of davening. Right? What do we do with the Aravas at the end of davening? We strike them on the ground. What a strange practice. The Arava is supposed to represent me, and I'm striking it on the ground. And Rabbi Nachman, the great Rebbe, says something so beautiful. He says, you know, saying, Ribono Shel Olam, I'm an Arava, but I don't want to be an Arava anymore. I don't want to be an Arava this year. I want to be the Esrog. I want to be the Hadassim. I want to grow. I want to be fragrant with my Sin Tovim. I want to be beautiful with magnificent Talmud Torah. I want to be luminescent with incredible Midos. Ribono Shel Olam, I don't want to be an Arava. So what we do is we take the bundle, we hit it against the floor, as if I'm repudiating the Arava lifestyle. This may have been me, but it's not me anymore. Ribono Shel Olam, you kept the door open for me until Hoshana Rabbah. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I am not going to let you down. Ribono Shel Olam, you believe in me each and every day. And I realize that I have to start believing in myself. You know, my friends, it's Tavshin Ayin Ches. Tavshin Ayin Ches stands for, it should be a year, Tehei Shnas. Rabbi Eichenstein actually told me this, such a beautiful idea. Tehei Shnas Chesed Elyon. Right, the Ayin and the Ches are out of order, but it's a Hasidic Shavart, it's okay. Tehei Shnas Chesed Elyon. That it should be a year, of Chesed from above. You know, my friends, it's time to stop waiting for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to do things. And it's time for us to take the reins of existence. If we want Moshiach, if we want Geula, we have to stop looking heavenward and start looking inward. Of course we need HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Of course we need him to partner with us. But my friends, do you know how long the Ribono Shel Olam has been waiting for us? Do you know how long he looks at me and he says, when are you going to stop being an Arava? I believe in you. You're magnificent. You're wonderful. You're special. When are you going to believe in yourself and finally become something so much more magnificent? When are you going to do the things that you know you need to do? When are you going to stop making excuses, stop procrastinating, start accomplishing the beautiful life initiatives and endeavors? When are you going to stop dreaming and start doing? I want you to take the Arava, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, and I want you to hit it against the ground. Because by doing that, I am repudiating the Arava lifestyle. It's no longer me. I'm not going to settle for that anymore. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I want something different. You believe in me, and I'm going to start believing in myself. My dear friends, this is the power of Hoshana Rabbah. You know, sometimes by this time already, we begin to get Yom Tov fatigue. Rebella and I were talking about this a little bit earlier. So sometimes it's hard to get into the Samachta Bechagecha. It's the last night of Chol HaMoed. It's Baruch Hashem, a three-day Yom Tov ahead of us, Baruch Hashem. But my friends, you understand, we find ourselves enveloped in a cocoon of holiness, a cocoon of Kiddusha. This is the time to start doing. This is the time to start growing. This is the time not to make Kabbalahs, but to start engaging in decisive action. This, my friends, is Hoshana Rabbah. The Ribono Shel Olam keeps the door open for all of the Aravas. The Ribono Shel Olam says, we say to him, Ana Hashem Hoshiana, Ana Hashem Hatzlichana. And I would guess that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you don't have to ask me for Hatzlacha. You have to start making Hatzlacha happen. I'm willing to bless all of your endeavors. I'm willing to bless all of your initiatives. I'm willing to bless anything and everything you do, but I just need you to do. I need you to act. I need you to grow. I need you to stop being an Arava. And so, my dear friend, may we be Zocha. As we sit in this beautiful Sukkah of Eretz Yisrael together on this night of Hoshana Rabbah, may we be Zocha to feel HaKadosh Baruch Hu in our midst. May we be Zocha Meretz Hashem to feel His love, to feel His embrace. As the Zohar writes, when you sit in the Sukkah, you sit B'tzeila Dehimenusa, in the shade of the Ribono Shel Olam. Why is it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows us to sit in His shade each and every year? It's because He loves us. It's because He cares about us. And it's because He wants to be close to us. The Ribono Shel Olam is keeping the door open for us one more day. And I'll tell you a secret. The truth is, it's still going to be open on Shmini Atzeres. And it's still going to be open on Shabbos Bereishis. And it's still going to be open on Sunday and Monday. And again, the Svarim bring down that the real din is not fully inscribed until Chanukah. And I'm sure there's someone out there who says that it's not fully inscribed until Tu Bishvat. And then there's probably someone else who says you have a chance to get yourself together until Purim. And then Pesach. And once it's Pesach, it's almost already Elul. So there's always a continuous loop of tshuva. But the goal is to stop relying on the spiritual extensions. The idea is to stop relying until the next time in order to stop being an Arava. Tonight's the night, my friends. Tonight's the night where we take the Aravas in the hand and we throw them down to the ground. Ribono Shel Olam. No more. No more. I lived as an Arava for too long. But now I want to be something beautiful. Now I want to be something great. May we be Zoche Meretz Hashem. That this should be the year of Chesed Elyon. We need Moshiach so badly. The Holy Yisrael, all of those who need Refuah Shleima, need Moshiach so badly. The couples who struggle with infertility need Moshiach so badly. People who struggle with Shalom Bayis need Moshiach so badly. Parents who have problems with children and children who have problems with parents. We need Eliyahu HaNavi to come, V'heishev Leiv Avos HaBonim V'Leiv Bonim Al Avosam. Those of us, each of us, struggles with our own pekalach, our own challenges. We need Moshiach. But before we could ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to bring Moshiach, we must be the agents of our own salvation. Before we could ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to do something, we must know that we are exhausting all of our efforts. Tonight is a night of incredible Shira. You know, Rabbi Nachman said that there are two ways you could get into the Sefer HaChaim. A person could do tshuva, and that can get you into the Sefer HaChaim. Or the Rebbe says, and my friends, listen to these words, the Rebbe says you could sing your way into the Sefer HaChaim. That a heartfelt nigun, a heartfelt shira, has the ability to be poel to affect incredible feelings of tshuva. We're going to do tshuva together tonight. We're going to stop being aravos together tonight. We're going to sing and dance away into the Sefer HaChaim tonight. We're going to say, Ribono Shel Olam, let this be a year of Chesed Elyon, but we're going to make sure that it's a year of Chesed Tachton as well. We're going to make things happen, accomplish beautiful things. And may we be zochem Eretz Hashem, that as we sing, we'll close our eyes, we'll open our hearts, and halavai, by the time we're zochem to open them in just a little while, may HaKadosh Baruch Hu, may Moshiach be sitting with us in this shulchan, and may we be zochem Eretz Hashem to be transported with our beautiful sukkah to Yerushalayim HaBinuya B'mehera B'yameinu. Amen.
Amen.
Oh,
Yeah. Did he die?
Additional idea. There's a thank you. There's a story that's told, you know, by the Satmar Rebbe Zecher Tzaddik Levracha of Yol Teitelbaum. So it was known that Anoshana Rabba davening would go very late. They would daven for it would be a long day of davening. So it happened to be one time Anoshana Rabba fell out on the Erev Shabbos. And Mamish, they're going strong. It's in 2 hours before candle lighting, still going strong. An hour before candle lighting. Finally, the Gabbai claps on the Bima, and he says, the ladies have to go home so that they can be able to light candles for Shabbos. So as one could imagine, at that point in time, it wasn't just the ladies who left, but there were a lot of the Chevra who left. So the Rebbe was left with a small group in shul. And he calls this close group of Hasidim close to him, and he said, you know, I'm going to tell you, we've been davening here the whole day, and I'm not feeling it. Can you imagine this? Zatmar Rebbe Zecher Tzaddik Levracha, Tzaddik Bekadosh Levracha, davening a whole day on Hoshana Rabba. It's probably, you know, 5 o'clock in the afternoon, and he's saying, I'm just not feeling it. So he says, I want to give you a mashal, give you a parable. So he told the story of a small village. And this small village was having certain tzaras, certain difficulties, and they needed to find a way to be able to talk to the king. But as one could imagine, you can't just get an audience with the king when you want. So the head of the village had a very good idea. He said, you know, it's known that the king takes his annual trip in the forest on so-and-so date. So he said, here's what we're going to do. The whole village, we're going to go to the forest that day. We'll meet the king in the forest, and hopefully again when the king is out of the normal environs, out of the normal framework of the palace, he'll be a little bit more receptive to our needs. So they go ahead, they go to the forest on the appointed day. They're there early in the morning. Morning goes by, no king. Afternoon goes by, no king. The sun's beginning to set, and the villagers are getting very distressed. Where's the king? So the village elder said like this. He said, listen. I don't know, we haven't seen the king, but one thing I know is for sure, which is, it's a rule in the kingdom that the king goes to the forest on this day, and the king never breaks the rules of the kingdom. So it must be that the king is here, but he's disguised as a foreigner, as a commoner. So what we just should do is we should cry out together for what our needs are. And although we don't know who the king is over here, I'm sure that the king is going to hear us. So the Rebbe said something so beautiful. He said, you know, sometimes we reach out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we try to go out to find HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we just don't feel it. We just don't feel it. You know, my friends, a person could daven a Rosh Hashanah, a person could daven a Kol Nidre, sometimes you just don't feel it. A person could sometimes daven a Ne'ilah, a person could cry out at the top of their lungs, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokim, but sometimes I just don't feel it. So what do you do when you don't feel it? Asat Merad said so beautifully. He said, even if you don't feel it, the king feels it. Even if you don't feel it, the Ribono Shel Olam feels it. Even if you can't see him, he is there, and he always sees you. See, my friends, sometimes we just don't get a high from our Yiddishkeit. Sometimes we just don't feel inspired. Sometimes the truth is, I'm in a shachris, and the truth is, I'm counting the pages till it's over. Or I'm looking at the time till it's over. Or I'm praying that maybe there's a meeting that will allow me to leave after Chazaras HaShas. Or again, I think about 3 days of Yom Tov, and as much as I love the Seudos and the Mishpacha, I'm not looking forward to the long davening. And the Chazan is going to sing, and he's going to this, and he's going to that. Because sometimes it's hard to feel it. But it's good to know that even if you can't feel it, the king feels it. Even if you can't see him and you can't feel him, he sees and feels you. And as long as he knows that I'm trying, as long as he knows that I'm trying to seek him out, as long as he knows that I don't throw in the towel just because I can't feel it or because I don't feel inspired, as long as he knows that I will never stop looking, then know that he is there with us. This is what the Rebbe said in the wee hours of Hoshana Rabbah. The group of Hasidim who had been davening the whole day, because the Rebbe knew that although they were in shul, although they stayed, not mish until the end, sometimes it's hard to feel it. And we shouldn't think there's something wrong with us if we don't feel it. No one feels it all the time. So what do you do in those moments when you feel uninspired? In those moments where you just don't feel lifted up? You keep plowing forward. You hit the aravas on the ground, and you keep going. Say, Ribono Shel Olam, I am not throwing in the towel. No matter how long it takes, no matter how much effort, I'm going to keep looking for you until one day I find you. And I know that you will find me long before I find you. And I take solace in that. And so, my friends, we should be zocha to have Hoshana Rabbah, to have the last days of Yom Tov filled with his orus and inspiration. But inevitably, there will be moments when we are uninspired. But just know, even in those moments when you feel so far from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, know that he's probably dressed in plain clothes right next to you. Know that he's there. Know that he's holding on to you even when you don't feel like you're holding on to him. And if we never stop trying, if we never stop looking, then Emirat Hashem will be zocher to that beautiful moment. That beautiful moment where we find each other. That beautiful moment where we hug one another. You know, we say, Melech Rachamon, Rachim Aleinu, Tov Umeitiv, Hi Doresh Lanu. I think I mentioned this last year. So Rav Shlomo Zechazadik Levrach, Rav Shlomo Karabach said, you know, he composed, I think we sang it before, there's a beautiful nigin to Melech Rachamon. He says, what a strange request. Melech Rachamon, compassionate King Rachim Aleinu, have compassion on us. Tovu Meitiv, you're good and you do good. Hidarish Lanu, seek us out. So Rav Shlomo said, what a chutzpah. You tell the Ribono Shel Olam to seek you out? Say, God, come and find me. Come and get me. I'm here. I'm ready. I'll even put down the remote. Right? Come and get me. I'm ready to be in. What kind of chutzpah is that? How do you, if I want God, I have to go out and find him. So Rav Shlomo said a story. So Rav Shlomo often did that. One time he was traveling. He was in an airport. And he saw a young man who mamish looked homeless. And he hears he sees the young man borrow a quarter from someone. This is a dated story. Used to be a thing called payphones, right? You put a quarter in the payphone. And Rav Shlomo's in earshot of the conversation. And he hears the young man. And the young man's calling home. And it's clear that he hadn't spoken to his parents in many years. And the boy starts crying. And Rav Shlomo hears it on the other line. The parents are saying to him, just tell us where you are. Just tell us where you are. And we'll come and get you. And the young man is sobbing and he's saying, I don't know where I am. But you just have to come and find me. And Rav Shlomo said, he finally understood the meaning of that phrase. He said, Ribono Shel Olam, Tovu Meitiv, you're so good, Hidaresh Lanu. Ribono Shel Olam, sometimes I'm so lost that I don't even know where I am. I'm so lost that I don't even know where to tell you to find me. But Ribono Shel Olam, I have one request. Just find me. You're a Kodesh Baruch Hu, you could do anything. I'm so lost. Tovu Meitiv, you're so good, Hidaresh Lanu, seek me out and find me wherever I may be. Friends, sometimes we get very lost in life. And we're so lost that we don't even know where we are. We forgot where we were going. And we can't even remember anymore where we came from. And in those moments, all we need to do is look heavenward. In those moments, all we have to remember is that the Melech is always right beside us. Even if we can't see him, it's just because he's dressed in ordinary clothes. And if we say, believe, Shalom, Hidaresh, Ribono Shel Olam, I want so badly to come home. I want so badly to live in your sukkah. I want so badly to always be with you. Tovu Meitiv, Ribono Shel Olam, Hidaresh Lanu. Just find me. In those moments where we don't have the strength to find him, we have every right to ask him to find us. May we be zuchem yertz Hashem, and this Hoshana Rabba. Halavai, we should find the koach to look for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Ribono Shel Olam should find the ratzon to look for us. And halavai, we should be zuchem to find each other. Nishmas Nishmas Kamo